Metro Manila and most of the Philippines will remain under COVID alert level 1 until July 15. Several government officials and mayors tagged in the smuggling of agricultural products into the country. President Rodrigo Duterte admits to using his presidential powers to get media giant ABS-CBN off the air. Later on in the program, we'll speak with a new face of the political opposition, Senator Risa Ontiveros. And world leaders condemn Russia's missile strike on a mall in Ukraine that left at least 13 dead. Hi, I'm Carmina Constantino. Dateline Philippines begins right now. Thanks for joining us. For those of you watching us on YouTube and on Facebook, nice to have you with us today. Topping the midday news, Metro Manila and most of the country to remain under COVID alert level 1 until mid-July, even as COVID cases rise. Dozens of other areas across the Philippines will also stay under the least stringent alert level, including Abra, Apayao, Baguio City, and Bulacan. Malacanang says the matrix for the alert level system was adjusted to remove the two-week growth rate in determining the risk classification. It will instead be based on average daily attack rates. The updated classification comes as the Philippines logged 867 new COVID cases Monday, the highest in over 3 months. The Philippines also averaged 662 new daily cases from June 20th to 26th, 53% higher than the week before. The Philippines' COVID-19 Task Force updates testing requirements for public and private sector employees. Employees who are tasked to do on-site work in areas with sufficient supply of vaccine are now required to be vaccinated against COVID-19. Those who remain unvaccinated shall undergo RT-PCR tests every 2 weeks or weekly antigen tests. But employees who have recovered from COVID infection within 90 days are exempted from the testing requirement. The testing protocol only applies to areas under alert level 2 or higher. Despite the increase in the average number of daily cases, the Philippines' healthcare utilization rate remains low at just 14%. Make that 14.9%. That's according to Private Hospitals Association President Dr. Jose Rene Degrano. He says majority of the cases are either mild or asymptomatic and do not need hospitalization. Degrano, however, warns the numbers may not be 100% accurate.
They treat it just like flu, and mm-hmm. So they just try to observe it and then stay at home. And they do not want, of course, to go to the hospitals to be tested because it's very expensive, you know, to get an RT-PCR. The real number of cases probably double the figures that we are presenting right now, because a lot of people don't really get tested, and some that get tested by using the rapid antigen, it's not reported. The local government in this area should really monitor these things, you know, and then of course be more strict in the implementation of the minimum health protocols.
The Philippines gets a fresh supply of COVID-19 vaccines from the United States. The U.S. donated nearly 300,000 Pfizer-BioNTech doses allotted for those aged 12 years old and above. The U.S. has so far donated a total of more than 35 million vaccine shots to the Philippines through the COVAX facility.
But the United States continues to be very proud and pleased to partner with the Philippines to fight the pandemic together. We look forward to continuing that work with the incoming Marcos administration because COVID is still with us and we still need to fight.
And again, we would like to thank the American people for this donation. And this only represents that the U.S. and other allies will always continue to help us. Now, this will be our last donation to be received during the Duterte administration, and it only shows the support of the U.S. and other allies to the next government.
Overall, the Philippines has received around 245 million COVID-19 vaccines. Based on the National Task Force on COVID-19's latest tally, the Philippines still has about 91 million doses in storage that are ready to be administered. More than 70 million Filipinos have already been fully immunized, but only 14.8 million have received booster shots. Former Senate President Juan Ponce Enrile is in the hospital due to COVID-19. Enrile revealed in a Facebook post he has been at a Makati hospital for some 3 days now. He said he never had any discomfort other than dry cough. Enrile also said he has mild pneumonia, but the 98-year-old insisted he is not going to die yet. Due to this development, Enrile says he would miss President-elect Ferdinand Marcos Jr.'s oath-taking on Thursday, as he will still be in the hospital by then. Enrile was recently appointed as Marcos's chief presidential legal counsel. In China, Shanghai is gearing up for the upcoming resumption of dine-in services as the city's latest COVID-19 outbreak eases. Officials say dine-in services will resume Wednesday, but only in low-risk areas. Restaurants must also implement strict social distancing protocols, as well as require diners to present a negative COVID test. This is the latest development in Shanghai following a brutal 2-month lockdown that ended in June. In other news, several ranking Philippine agriculture and customs officials tagged as protectors and smugglers of agricultural products. The identities of those officials were revealed in an intelligence report forwarded to Senate President Tito Soto. More than a month after the Senate ended its investigation into smuggled agricultural goods in the country, the list of accused includes Customs Commissioner Leonardo Guerrero and Agriculture Undersecretary Ariel Cayanan. It also tagged a certain Mayor June Diamante and Toby Tianco. Senator Soto says he's saddened by Tianco's inclusion, but said it's also possible that person may not be the Navotas mayor, just someone who shares the same name. Mayor Tianco has also denied being involved in smuggling. A court in Tarlac dismisses the initial charges against a group of farmers and activists who were arrested over a land dispute. A Capas municipal judge dropped the illegal assembly charge, citing conflicting statements as to whether the so-called Tinang 83 were armed. The court also junked a malicious mischief complaint against them. The court also noted jurisdiction over the land dispute should lie with the Agrarian Reform Department. The Tinang 83 were arrested earlier this month for allegedly damaging a disputed sugar plantation. Government data later showed the farmers in the group were the rightful owners of the land. A lawyer for the Tinang 83 welcomes the ruling, but attorney Joe Clemente says their legal battle continues as 3 to 5 other charges are pending against the group. The Metro Manila Development Authority recommends alternate routes for motorists as the EDSA Camuning southbound flyover will be closed for a month due to repairs. Ziana Brocha gives us details.
As early as 4 a.m. Monday, vehicles were slow moving along EDSA near Quezon Avenue. That's because the Camuning flyover southbound lane was closed and not passable to motorists. Only 2 of the 5 lanes were accessible. The Camuning flyover is closed for rehabilitation by the DPWH for 1 month starting last June 25.
Magpapalit tayo ng deck slab. Ang length ito is 30 meters. Ang width niya 2.7. Bali, maliit lang siya. Kaya lang talagang nagkaroon na ng separation yung concrete sa bakal. Dahil pinasok siya ng tubig, nagkaroon na ng seepage. Nagkocontact pa sila ng non-destructive test ngayon doon sa buong tulay para ma-determine kung ano pa yung mga dapat na nating schedule na ayusin. Jackhammer lang, hindi naman pwedeng heavy equipment dahil madidisturb yung katabing mga lane.
The MMDA inspected the situation and recommended alternate routes for motorists to avoid the traffic congestion in EDSA.
Yung mga nasa outer lane po, pinakakanan na natin, either sa Mother Ignacia, Panay Avenue, Scout Albano at dito po sa Scout Borromeo. Ganon din po lahat po ng nagbibisikleta at nagmumotor, pinakakanan na po natin sila lahat dahil medyo delikado po kung pasasamahin pa natin sila sa service road po nitong EDSA Camuning Flyover.
100 personnel of the MMDA together with the Highway Patrol Group, the Quezon City LGU and the IACT were tasked to handle traffic management. But there were some motorists who were unaware of the flyover's closure, especially those not from Metro Manila.
Ito sir, nagtataka sa traffic.
Perwisyo po.
Pag paumanhin niyo po, konting pangunawa, wag po tayo magsiksikan, magbigayan kung maaari, dahil yan po yung mas mapapabilis yung takbo ng mga sasakyan.
As information is disseminated to the public, the MMDA expects more motorists to take alternate routes to avoid the EDSA traffic. Z. Ann Ambrosio, ABS-CBN News.
Incoming Vice President Sara Duterte Carpio's push to make the Reserve Officers Training Corps, or ROTC, mandatory again gets the backing of more lawmakers. The latest to support Duterte Carpio's proposal is her father's longtime ally, Senator Ronald De La Rosa, who now joins us on the program. Senator, good afternoon to you. Thanks for joining us today. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Carmina, for having me here in your program at Ganda Umaga po.
Senator, when there are more pressing problems that the country is facing or has faced prior to and during the pandemic, tell us, why focus your energy on the mandatory military training or the ROTC?
Well, you know, Carmina, that the Congress can do multitasking. If we want to focus on only one thing, then we can also focus on another thing. So there's no problem with that.
Senator, what is your primary purpose for pushing for the ROTC?
You know, Kamila, we have, number one, we have a impending threat coming from China with the presence in the Philippine Sea. And we need to be proactive. Huwag tayo maghintay na magiging sitting duck. We have to prepare. We have to train our youth to defend our land. It is mandated in our constitution that all citizens should be ready to defend the state.
I know that
plus the discipline that we will be getting from ROTC, that the youth will be getting from ROTC. We really need ROTC to be back.
I understand that Vice President-elect Sara Duterte Carpio wants to pattern the mandatory military training on Korea's mandatory military training. But what do you say to the observation that the histories of both nations are very different? You talk about the impending threat of the North that is not present here in the Philippines. What do you say to that observation, Senator?
Well, her version is different from mine. If she wants that to be made into law, then maybe I can co-author such a bill. But for now, I will stick to my own version, which I already passed during the 18th Congress, the mandatory ROTC bill. I'm going to refile in the coming in the opening, the first day of the 19th Congress. This is about requiring all students from grades 11 to 12 to undergo the mandatory military training via ROTC.
Male or female? Pareho po yan.
Male or female, pareho po. We observe gender equality, so hindi po natin hiniwala yung female. Male and female.
So we tend to look at Korea's mandatory military training as an example. Senator, kasalukuyan po, pinagdidebatihan pa rin po ang relevance ng mandatory military training sa Korea. And here you are, you're pushing for it. What do you say to the observation that there are other ways to show patriotism, to show love for country, to show that you will be there to defend the country if there is a threat against it, Senator? Go ahead.
Yes, you said it correctly. Kailangan natin yung magiging patriotic yung ating mga kabataan. The sense of nationalism should be developed among the youth. And we need to be prepared. As I've said, the geopolitics happening now around the world is so fluid. We cannot be sure of our security. What happened to Russia invading Ukraine, kahit na mga kadugo nila yun, mga relative nila yun, can also happen here. in the Philippines. We have the threat from coming from China. So you must be prepared. You must be prepared. You lang naman sa akin. That's all I'm up here. Mm-hmm. Yung preparation. We are a very small nation, and our regular military needs the support of reserve military component in case aggression, foreign aggression happens. So that's all we are up there for.
Mm-hmm. But what about the other option, which is just go into a massive recruitment program for the military? Yung isa rin po kasing nagiging problema ng Korea, and some of the former generals have said this, the training hasn't really been that great for those who have undergone the mandatory military training because precisely of the turnover. How do you think that, what makes you think that this will not happen here in the Philippine experience? Kasi po, doon ang nangyayari, may 2 years, intense, and then after that, what happens next?
Alam mo kami na, if we'll just only focus on the negatives, kung anong kasamaan tungkol dito sa programang ito, then we will not end up with the ROTC program. Marami talagang negative makikita, but we also focus on the positive side na kinakailangan talaga natin ito. And siguro naman, yung sabi mo na we want yung massive recruitment, that could hardly be done here in the Philippines. Dahil, number one, we lack the budget. Hindi natin kaya mag-recruit ng ganung kalaking armed forces. Kaya ang ating gawing reserve ay itong lahat ng mga Pilipino, able-bodied Filipinos that can defend this country at any given time pag worst comes to worst.
Mm-hmm. Kanina po sinabi nyo that, yeah, there is that threat and we don't want the Ukraine experience on us. But if that happens, then we should be prepared. In so many words, Senator, that's what you said. But is beefing up our military might as well the only way to show love for country and patriotism?
Mm-hmm. No, hindi yan lang ang paraan para ipakita mo yung pagmamahal ng iyong bansa. In fact, yung ibang components na ngayong NSTP, yung National Service Training Program law na ngayon, yung pinapractice na yung tatlong components na yan, yung ROTC, yung Civic Welfare Training Service at saka yung Literacy Training Service, lahat na nag-i-engage dyan na they are showing their sense of nationalism and patriotism. Hindi po natin yan na matigayin sa kanila. Pero, yun nga, sabi ko nga, kailangan handa tayo palagi. You cannot defend this country through literacy only. You cannot defend this country through civic welfare programs only. But you can defend this country through your military knowledge and skills. So, yan ang kailangan talaga natin. That underscores the importance of the resumption or yung pagbabalik ng ating ROTC program.
Mm-hmm. And ultimately po, ang nakikita niyong makikinabang dito, yung mga kabataan before the country benefits from it, paano niyo po ipapaliwanag sa kabataan po na importante po itong panukalang batas na isasalang niyo po, Senator?
Well, I am encouraging all the parents. Sana ipaintindi natin sa ating mga kabataan na bilang isang Pilipino ay kinakailangan natin handa na ialay yung ating buhay sa ating sa pagdidepensa ng ating bansa. At yung ROTC naman ay I am a product of ROTC. Yung aking disiplina sa aking pagkatao ay doon ko po natutunan sa ROTC. Kaya if you want to become a disciplined person, then you might as well learn to ROTC. Proven na po yan. Ito ang ROTC program has been there for, since 1935 by the National Defense Act of 1935. That was the Commonwealth Act number 1 during the time of President Manuel L. Quezon. But ito ay nahinto lang or ito ay naging optional lang noong year 2002 dahil sa may mga nangyayari, mga pang-abuso, may namatay.
Yan nga po.
Hising doon sa ROTC. So, ito ngayon na gusto natin ibalik yung ROTC. We are
Paano niyo po maiibsan yung takot ng mga magulang that if you go the same route again, then all these negative things, yung abuse of power that often led to death might happen again?
Number one, siguruhin natin, kasama doon sa provision ng aking batas na sinusulong is the establishment of the grievance board na kung saan motu proprio this board composed of representative from DepEd, from the DND and from the legal counsel, a legal officer of DECS ay sila po yung mag-motu proprio mag-conduct ng investigation kung may mga abuso na naobserbahan pertaining to the ROTC program. At saka meron naman tayong pertinent laws, yung anti-hazing law, meron tayo yung Child Welfare Act na inoobserba, and itong lahat ay ating gagawin pa, ating i-implement para maiwasan ang abuso. At yung ating mga officers coming from the Armed the Philippines na ilalagay yan sa ROTC program, siguruhin natin this you will come from the best of the best para masiguro natin na maiwasan yung abuso at corruption. So pagtutulungan natin yan yung executive branch of government at saka itong Congress using our oversight function, they will be giving us a periodic report about its implementation, ay mababantayan natin yan, yung implementation ng ROTC. And pagdating naman doon sa reklamo na additional gastos na naman ito on the part of the parents, dahil nga yung uniform ng ROTC ay medyo magastos. Sinama po natin sa bill natin pinapile na yung one set of ROTC uniform para sa grade 11 students. So covered na ito kasama ang grade 12 kasi ultimately magiging grade 12 yan siya, ay isa subsidized ng gobyerno. Yan po ang ating proposal.
And finally, Senator, kindly answer this. How is this not a prelude to the militarization of the country?
Military what?
Militarization po ng bansa.
That will never happen. The civilian supremacy is still supreme over the military. Ang atin lang ay mag-ready lang tayo. But why are you apprehensive about militarization? If militarization is good for our defense, then why? I don't think bakit tayo matatakot sa term na militarization. Kung yan ay paghahanda para sa depensa ng ating bansa, hindi tayo dapat matakot because the military is our protector. Nasa konstitusyon yan. The military is the primary protector of the people.
And we're going to have to leave it at that. Senator Bato de la Rosa there joining us on the line. Thanks for taking our call, Senator. Take care and keep safe.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Thank you.
And from there, we're going to take a quick break. Up ahead, President Rodrigo Duterte admits to using his presidential powers to shut down ABS-CBN. Details of that story and more when Dateline Philippines returns. Stay with us here on ANC. We're back. You're still with Dateline Philippines here on ANC. Here's another look at our headlines this noon. Metro Manila and most of the Philippines will remain under COVID Alert Level 1 until July 15. Several government officials and mayors tagged in the smuggling of agricultural products into the country. President Rodrigo Duterte admits to using his presidential powers to get media giant ABS-CBN off the air. And world leaders condemn Russia's missile strike on a mall in Ukraine that left at least 13 dead. Back with more news, President Rodrigo Duterte admits to using his presidential powers to seek the shutdown of ABS-CBN, the parent company of this news channel. He issued the statement as he attended the oath-taking of his son, Sebastian, the newly elected Davao City Mayor. The president also ranted against big businesses, including water concessionaire operators.
I used the presidential powers to tell Congress that you are dealing with scoundrels, and if you continue to kowtow with them, kawawa ang Pilipino. Kaya tinira ko talaga sila.
Outgoing Vice President Leni Robredo on Monday passed the baton to re-elected Senator Risso Ontiveros as the new leader of the political opposition. Senator Ontiveros now joins us to talk about her new role. Senator Risa, good afternoon to you. Welcome to the program. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for inviting me, Carmina.
Let me repeat what outgoing Vice President Leni Robredo told you a couple of days back. Ikaw na iyong leader namin. Those words coming from the outgoing Vice President, what went through your mind when you heard these words from the outgoing VP, Senator?
I was feeling then, still feeling now, gratitude for the very dignified and heartfelt oath-taking that she officiated for me. I felt grateful for the way that she has led us the past more than a half decade, including during the last months until election day of that unprecedented people's campaign. And grateful also for the lessons that she shared, not just with me, not just with other leaders in the opposition, but with all our people moving forward. So that's my first feeling until now, Carmina, a deep sense of gratitude na palagay ko magiging elemento sa sama-samang pamumuno moving forward, sa sama-samang raising ng bar nating lahat para sa ating mga kababayan.
But Senator, what does this mean though? You being now the leader of the opposition, what does this mean to those who are allied with the opposition? What does this mean to you as a re-electionist?
As a re-electionist, well, right now I'm in the middle of, especially with SENCOCO, working on putting together the minority. Tingin ko, Carmina, the minority will help broaden and strengthen not just the opposition outside the Senate, pero yung mas malawak na sana magkakaisa pang mga kababayan natin. I think in these last days of the outgoing administration and on the eve of the advent of the new administration, I think all of us in the opposition and even beyond us, no, tayong mga Pilipino, we really need to think about again, ano ba talaga yung sitwasyon natin, lalo na yung mga problema, lalo na yung mga pagdurusa ng mga tao. Ask each other the important questions again. Really listen, share with each other, para makabuo tayo moving forward ng what's to be done, no? Ano ang ating dapat gawin. At para sa akin, bilang opposition, hindi lang kami opposition sa isang administrasyon, pero siguro kung mas malalim titignan, opposition sa isang sistema na matagal na nating binabaka. You know, questions that are forming and reforming again in my mind would include, bakit pagkatapos ng ilang dekada na mula ng People Power Revolution, ang dami pa rin unfinished business, no? Bakit ay problema pa rin yung kailangan depensahan yung ating mga karapatang pantao, yung ating mga kalayaang sibil? Bakit ang dami pa rin human rights violations, victim survivors na hindi pa nakilala at na-compensate kahit sa maliit na paraan? Bakit nitong nakaraang mga taon lang ang dami pa ring mga extrajudicial killings victims at mga balo nila at mga ulila nila na hindi pa rin nabibigyan ng justicia?
But Senator, when allies of the incoming administration say that, bakit kailangan nyo pa ibalik yan? Bakit kailangan pa pag-usapan yan? There's a 31 million vote mandate backing incoming President Ferdinand Marcos Jr. Why can't you just work with that?
Oh, I will, and we should work with that dahil mayroong 31 milyong kababayan natin na binigyan ng electoral mandate ang president-elect at ang incoming administration. Pero kahit sinong papasok na administrasyon at lalo na kahit sinong oposisyon, lalo na ulitin ko lang, hindi lang ito oposisyon sa administrasyon o sa individual, ito ay oposisyon sa isang sistema na matagal na nating gustong reformahin. And there are things that we cannot simply leave and move on from. Any self-respecting people, tulad nating lahat ng mga Pilipino, sooner or later we have to come to terms with these. Make an accounting of them. Do justice sa mga dapat bigyan ng hustisya. So, bukod sa yung tanong na bakit pagkatapos ng apat na dekada na ng demokratisasyon, ang dami pa rin nating democratization challenges. Kailangan, hindi lang ang administrasyon, kami rin sa oposisyon, lahat tayong mga Pilipino, kailangan din rin nating tanungin, bakit pagkatapos ng ilang mga paulit-ulit na yugto na lumalago naman yung ating ekonomiya, diba? Tumataas naman yung ating standing, pati sa international community. Hanggang ngayon, ang dami pa rin mga Pilipino na nilalabanan pa rin ang kahirapan at ang exclusion sa kaunlarang ito. Nito lang nakaraang ilang mga taon, ang dami pa rin nawala ng trabaho at hanap buhay, mga MSMEs na hirap na hirap ding mag-survive. Siguro kahit sino ang binoto natin nung eleksyon, ay pwede nating sabihin may mali pa rin at kulang sa ating sistema. At yun partikular ang tatrabahuhin din ng oposisyon para ipakita at ibahagi sa lahat, kahit sa labas ng oposisyon, na ito ay mga issue matagal na na pinaghihirapan nating lahat at sama-sama kailangan solusyonan. Yung kalusugan din, Carmina, yung pandemic, kahit meron na tayong magandang universal healthcare law, bakit ang dami pa rin masyadong nagkasakit at namatay na hindi sana dapat kailangan? Bakit yung happy at safe space nung una ng social media ay kinasangkapan para sa fake news at trolling at historical revisionism? So may mga bagay na kailangan pa nating tanungin kahit ulit. At mas malinaw nating tignan ano ba yung pagkakaintindi natin sa mga pagdurusang ito at ano yung mga solusyon na mas sama-sama sa isang mas malawak na pagkakaisa nating mga Pilipino na pwede nating tugunan.
Well, Senator, now that you're the new face of the opposition, what does that mean now for the millions that rallied behind outgoing Vice President Leni Robredo? Does that mean that she's just going to fade away and you will take her place? What will it look like?
It will look like more leaders in the opposition continuing to work together. Sa lokal pa lang, Carmina, ang daming mga local government officials na gusto pa rin trabahuin itong mga historical na problema natin sa demokrasya, sa pagkakapantay-pantay ng ekonomiya, sa inclusion, sa isang tunay at mas malawak na pagkakaisa nating mga mamamayan. VP Leni is not the type of person or leader who will just fade away. I believe she will remain one of our leaders in the opposition, in our society. Just a few days from now, ilulunsad yung Angat Buhay, the largest volunteer movement in the history of the country, sabi nga niya, isang NGO. Tuloy-tuloy din yung ibang mga initiatives na ito ipinanganak ng People's Movement at ng iba pang mga puwersa kahit lampas sa hanay ng Pink Movement. Mga initiatives tungkol sa patuloy na pag-oorganisa ng iba't ibang mga partido at kilusan on the ground to indeed make our democracy more inclusive, especially for the majority. Mga efforts laban sa fake news. Mga efforts para gumaling na talaga tayo sa pandemic, para umagaling trabaho na talaga tayo sa recession. These are just a few of the initiatives we can feel and we know, Carmina, are being sustained and will be launched in the next years. At ito ay mga efforts na pwede talagang magbunga ng isang tunay at mas malawak na pagkakaisa on the ground.
You know,
Binoto.
Yeah, sorry about that, Senator. But you know, being the leader of the opposition as vice president is very different from being the leader of the opposition as senator. What kind of collaborative work, if that's what you're going to get into, should the people expect from you? I mean, right now as we speak, an additional benefits to solo parents act has just now been signed into law by President Rodrigo Duterte. Is that the kind of collaborative work that people will be expecting from you? And to add to that point, what would be your non-negotiables as you work through issues in a bipartisan manner, Senator?
Well, one of the non-negotiables is to continue with that bipartisan frame of mind and attitude and behavior na natutunan ko sa nakaraang anim na taon sa Senado bilang isang independenteng institusyon, and between us colleagues in the minority and majority, basta common advocacy sa bills, sa resolutions, sa budget interventions, kayang-kaya naming magkaisa para isulong ang mga batas na kailangan ng ating mamamayan. And I'm so glad, Carmina, you mentioned the expanded solo parents welfare, now law. It's a perfect example of the fruits of that kind of minority-majority cooperation. Ito ay isa sa pinakahuling mga batas na naipanganak namin, na ipanganak ko ng Senate Committee on Women at ng opisina ko. I'm so happy, kasama ng milyong-milyong mga kapwa ko solo parents, that this has now been signed into law. Also, I just got word from my Legis Unit under Attorney Jay at the Senate that now also signed into law is the Anti-Human Trafficking Act, to which I also made some, I think, valuable amendments. So, hindi mag-iiba yung stance ko bilang minority senator sa 19th Congress to raise the constructively critical points, to support and cooperate with the majority sa mga common advocacies namin, and always to be presenting alternatives, always proposing alongside whenever it is necessary to oppose, and also capable of cooperating and supporting when that is possible. At lalampas po yan sa minority sa Senado, Carmina. I'm really hoping that the Senate minority will, through me, be able to contribute to a bigger and stronger opposition and beyond our ranks in the opposition sa isang mas malawak na pagkakaisa nating mga Pilipino. Kasi ang dami nating pinagdudusahan in common.
We're going to have to leave it at that. Senator Risa Ontiveros there, outgoing Vice President Lenny Robredo called her as a new leader, the new face of the opposition. We appreciate you coming to the show. We appreciate your insights and talking to us this afternoon. Take care, Risa, and keep safe.
Salamat.
And from there, we're going to take another break. Still ahead, disgruntled NBA superstar Kyrie Irving staying with the Brooklyn Nets for better or for worse. More on that when we come back. You're watching Dateline Philippines here on AMC. least 13 people are dead and 56 others injured following a Russian missile strike on a shopping mall in central Ukraine. The country's defense ministry says the attack in Kremenchuk was deliberately timed to coincide with the mall's busiest hours. As many as 1,000 people were in the building when the missile struck, igniting a massive fire which took 4 hours to extinguish. The casualty count is still expected to go up. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky calls the attack a brazen terrorist act.
This morning, I appealed to the United States to recognize Russia as a state that sponsors terrorism. The relevant resolution is approved by a U.S. Senate committee, and a legal decision can be made by the State Department. And such a decision is clearly needed, and it must be supported by the entire democratic world. The Russian state has become the largest terrorist organization in the world. And this is a fact. And this must be a legal fact. And everyone in the world should know that buying or transporting Russian oil, keeping in touch with Russian banks, paying taxes and duties to the Russian state is giving money to terrorists.
Russia has captured the eastern city of Severodonetsk after a weeks-long assault has stepped up missile strikes across Ukraine in recent days. The attack on a Ukrainian shopping mall earns condemnation from the United Nations and world leaders. G7 leaders who are currently meeting in Germany have called it a war crime. They vow to hold Russian President Vladimir Putin and those responsible for the bombing to account. French President Emmanuel Macron also denouncing the attack as an abomination, while British Prime Minister Boris Johnson says it demonstrates the depths of Putin's cruelty and barbarism. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken says the world is horrified by the latest in Russia's string of atrocities. Ukraine has called for an emergency meeting of the United Nations Security Council over recent Russian strikes on civilian targets. The U.N. body has scheduled the event for Thursday. In sports, Brooklyn star guard Kyrie Irving will opt into the final year of his contract with the Nets that will pay him over $36 million. See, Irving no longer wants to play for the Nets following a tumultuous season, with the Nets deciding not to pay Irving for each game he missed because he remains unvaccinated against COVID-19. Only problem is, no team seems to be interested to trade for the disgruntled all-star. For more on this story, head on over to news.abs-cbn.com. And before we go, catch ANC special coverage of the inauguration of President-elect Ferdinand Marcos Jr. That's happening on June 30th. We'll be talking to political analysts and incoming government officials. Our coverage begins at 9 in the morning. That's going to last until 4 in the afternoon. Stay tuned for that. And that'll do it for today. Thanks for joining us. I'm Carmina Constantino. If you want to revisit today's episode, you can play back this newscast on ANC's YouTube channel and on ANC 24/7 on Facebook. Keep safe. Keep it here on ANC.